With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I am so excited to have a very special guest with me today, Dr. Sandeep Prakash, who is the Chief Scientist Officer at SoundSelf. I've been a huge fan of SoundSelf for years. SoundSelf is a revolutionary vocal biofeedback technology for advancing mental health. And as you know, I'm a huge mental health advocate, huge technology advocate. So I'm so excited to welcome Dr. Sandeep Prakash to the show. Welcome.
Hi, Ashley. Good to be here.
Thank you for taking time to share your expertise and share a little bit more about SoundSelf to the audience. But before we dive in, can you share a little bit more about you? How did you find yourself in this Chief Scientist Officer role?
Sure. I'm a psychologist by training. I became interested in psychology through music. You can see some instruments behind me here. I'm a musician, and I was in India studying music, yoga. I had actually gone to India for mental health. I was feeling the need to deepen into a crisis of meaning of sorts that I was facing. And so I was traveling India, studying music, studying yoga, and studying from local practitioners of trance as a spiritual practice, such as the bowels of Bengal. After that whole experience, I decided to switch careers after being an economist before that and do my master's and PhD in psychology at California Institute of Integral Studies, which specializes in the study of psychedelics and among other things. And as I was wrapping up my doctoral work, I met Robin Arnott, who started Andromeda Entertainment, a publishing company. And as part of Andromeda Entertainment, he was incubating an invention of his called SoundSelf. And I was in Austin, where he lives, and we somehow met. I can't remember now. Went to his house, and I tried it out, and I was blown away. I never experienced technology like that. That could very rapidly change my state, the way I felt in my body, my expansion of consciousness that happened during and afterwards. So I told him I want to research this. Mm-hmm. And so I did a research study using that virtual reality initial version of it. And we had some really good results in the study. And we got together after that study to launch a new company focusing on digital therapeutics. Yeah. And for listeners who may not be familiar with the term, digital therapeutics is a broad term that encompasses technologies and software and medical devices and wellness products that incorporate technology or use technology to improve people's lives in some way, in their health, their physical health, their mental health. That's how we got together and started the company, and here we are today.
Wow, that is an incredible journey that you've gone through. Let's just take a step back here. Of your background as an economist, studying musician, creative thinker. There's so many intersectionalities here that you're mentioning that I see the natural journey of like where you got there. And I appreciate you sharing that because I think some people also have those moments of trying to find that meaning of them. And some people go to meditation for that. Some people go to find different hobbies. So I'm glad that you use the intent to find yourself in the place of where you are currently.
Yeah. And it's part of our story of Sound Self and why I think it's really important. You know, when I was really privileged to be able to take time to do that, to go and study yoga. And I know many people aren't. It takes an investment of energy and dedication to learn yoga techniques that help regulate the body and help you explore consciousness. But what we can do with technology, especially newer platforms such as virtual reality, XR, immersive technologies, is really speed up that process of learning of embodied technique. So we can, with Sound Self, we've seen in our research that people can learn mindfulness much faster than a didactic sort of mindfulness training.
Wow.
Because we're not doing it directly, we're doing it indirectly. It's not like you do this, you do one, step one, step two, step three. We're giving a fun, really engaging experience. Where you're using your voice. So I'll just maybe explain what it is. So imagine you put on a headset, first of all, in virtual reality, and now we're using another type of immersive technology that uses light therapy, uses LEDs on closed eyes. So your eyes are closed in this experience.
Interesting.
So you put on this headset. I don't know. I thought I had it right here, but and you lie down in a comfortable position, perhaps on a vibroacoustic mat. We have packages that also hook up to vibroacoustics. So you're lying on this vibroacoustic mat, and a voice comes in and guides you into bringing your awareness into your body, into relaxing, into noticing your breath. And then guide you into starting to tone, like and when you tone, the system is intelligently responding to your voice, and it's generating LED flickering, so it's strobing at certain rates, and it's generating a musical system as well, a musical experience, all fueled by your voice. And so the after the guidance, it's essentially the system and the user for a given amount of time. Typically a session is 30 minutes or 45 minutes in our current versions. And so as the user is toning, the system is generating this world, and the user goes on this journey where incorporates greater and greater relaxation and greater level of feeling and access of interoception, of just a way that we feel inside our bodies, while simultaneously this sort of out-of-body experience where it's sort of like a journey through a psychedelic type world that is generated partly by the system and partly by you. With the result is increased mindfulness, increased capacity to feel into the body and explore what might be emerging. So this is really useful for mental health situations where in many conditions there can be like a ruminative cycle where we're stuck in a sort of like rumination, and you know it's hard to just get out of that loop. But Sound Self is really, really good at that, at breaking that loop and taking you into another type of trance that is more beneficial for expansiveness, for spaciousness, for being with yourself in a positive way, in a way that's welcoming things that are emerging in your field.
Thank you for sharing that, because I wanted to share with the audience here. So previously you'd put the headset on and you would tone, and the feedback of that tone would be represented through beautiful, colorful visualizations that have geometric shapes that sometimes mimic some of the psychedelic experiences that your mind might create without the use of any kind of drugs or medicine or you name it. But now you're saying it's a similar process, but you're taking the colorful visual element out of it and instead replacing it with LED lights on a headset and potentially some vibrational haptics that are attached to like a mat that you're laying on. But I'm going to ask you, because I've done EMDR before, like I have diagnosed depression and PTSD, and I've used EMDR for trauma, like trying to work through traumas. And I understand how that works of tones and light. So I'm curious, is there any overlap in the study of what you're doing with that kind of technique?
It's related in the sense that it provides a pathway, so to speak, to get out of a predominantly cognitive realm and more into an embodied space. So we know from a study done by a mindfulness researcher, Dr. Tarrant, who works with biofeedback. But he did a study using EEG on sound self with people who are doing sound self, and we saw that there's reduced functional connectivity in the default mode network. So there's with the sound self experience, it sort of dampens that that mental chatter,
which could be such a relief to so many people.
Yeah, definitely. And so while it's simultaneously dampening mental chatter, it is producing a sense of cognitive flow. And playfulness. So it's not, so you could reduce chatter, let's say as you're going to sleep, you can, you know, the mind is less and less chatter and you fall asleep. But if we can create a state where there's less and less chatter, there's more and more relaxation, but you sustain a level of alertness and awareness. But so that's a special sweet spot there. And don't fall asleep. Then it's, we can engender a state of neuroplasticity and a place where you can face maybe uncomfortable phenomena or feelings and sensations from a place of safety. So there is this sort of similar to EMDR, there's this sort of nervous system regulation effect.
That makes sense. Thank you for describing that. And one, I want to just commend all of you at SoundCell for the work that you're doing, because I believe truly that you all are pioneering the way for modeled behavior of collaboration. You're really intertwining. It's not the technology that's doing something for you. It is you're meeting at halfway. And that type of collaboration where you're letting the person, the patient, direct their journey can be so powerful in many ways. And I'm sure you've seen that in your studies and in your patients as well.
Definitely. Yeah, that's one of our prime, I think, values as a company is in everything from our design to how we run our company is that it's very participatory. We central to our design process is the user themselves, and how can we empower a person to step into their mental health journey in increased capacity and be better off. And it's interesting to think about technology like that. I think with virtual reality, there's still a lot of promise. I think we get sidetracked by just thinking about the hardware.
True.
But it's really the software and the artists who, with any media technology, take full advantage of it and push the boundaries. Like we see this as any new media technology comes, is introduced or is invented. You know, before we had moving pictures, for example, we were used to like a photograph. And when we had movies, the first movies were still using techniques of production and understanding the viewer in this passive way. It was only later on that artists took full advantage of that medium. And with virtual reality, it's, it's been around for, 30 years now in some form, but we're only now seeing consumer applications and medical applications, industrial applications that are really pushing the boundaries of what the medium affords in terms of interactivity, in terms of like changing the sense of embodiment, and it can do some pretty radical things. But it's up to the software and the software artistry to do that. Yeah, people feel very much empowered. We're using it within some mental health contexts right now, where our customers are mostly ketamine clinicians.
Yes, I would love to talk more about therapists. That. Because that's for example, in Oklahoma, we do have ketamine therapy for people who are going through PTSD, deep levels of depression, or like veterans, of course. So it's becoming a more widely acceptable treatment. And I'm glad to hear that you're using SoundSelf in collaboration with that. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. The obvious pairing is that, you know, SoundSelf is a non-drug psychedelic. Initially we were very careful about that term psychedelic when applying it to a technology. But after seeing so many reports from people who had done SoundSelf calling it a psychedelic experience, and, you know, when we think of the word psychedelic as like mind manifesting or spirit or soul manifesting, that it's before taking the after taking the psychedelic, there's this increased spaciousness around the sense of self and other, or sense of the mythological space in which I exist. And SoundSelf also does that. And there's definitely differences between SoundSelf and taking a psychedelic compound. For example, like the risk profile is much less with SoundSelf compared to a psychedelic compound, because it's short in duration, you can stop the experience at any time, and it's not something that you ingest. But because of that, and because of the powerful potential of ketamine and psychedelics like MDMA, psilocybin, LSD, DMT, there's potential now to pair a technology, digital therapeutic, in the preparation stages and the integration stages. Because what we know with psychedelics is that in order to maximize their therapeutic potential and reduce the probability of an adverse event, especially with mental health conditions like depression or substance use disorder, or we need a supportive paradigm that goes through a protocol of preparation, the dosing session, and integration, and a community of support there. Mm-hmm. So there's no one single answer, but SoundSelf plays an important role in this process, especially within the ketamine context right now, where a person comes in for 2 to 3 sessions before taking ketamine, gets acquainted with an altered state experience, gets familiar with just coming into the clinic and interfacing with the clinicians and talking to them. So when they do take ketamine, they have virtually no anxiety than they would have if they had never done SoundSelf before.
And that's the preparation.
SoundSelf really helped prepare. Yeah, it reduces just anxiety going into a psychedelic experience dramatically. And it also prepares them in some embodied skills of mindfulness, attention, and absorption. And those two things, if we can improve that with, if a person improves their mindfulness, their way absorption, or their ability to be in a sustained flow state, and their capacity for attention, we know that improves outcomes with psychedelic therapy. And then on the integration side, it allows them to re-anchor into an insight they had during the ketamine experience.
Wow.
So, you know, so we know that after any psychedelic, there's now a lot of questions on how long those mental health benefits are sustained. So for example, with depression, if someone has severe depression and the level of depression after a ketamine dosing is reduced, how does it start to creep back up? Do the levels of depression start to increase? And what we're about to study right now in a research study is that sounds of increase the durability of the effect of ketamine. Does it make the effect of reducing depression much more durable in the sense that it lasts longer? But if you do sound self session periodically subsequent to the ketamine journey. And so we're developing protocols around that.
Thank you for doing that. I've been thinking about this lately. So I'm so glad that you're actually tying science to that, an actual study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's an important thing for people to have that ongoing support with clinicians, mm-hmm. but also a tool like SoundSelf that can where so the specific therapeutic mechanism of action involves coaching a person to work with that insight after, let's say they have some insights after ketamine, they can journal about it and use a variety of other methods like arts-based methods, psychotherapy with a therapist, a variety of things. But as they work with those insights, it's important to keep it alive. Mm-hmm. So as if it's a living force within their psyche, not just something that happened and now they can just throw out the car. You know, it's they got to keep riding with it somehow. And SoundSelf allows you to go back into an altered state of consciousness very quickly, safely, and easily, and in with the intention of reconnecting with that insight. Mm-hmm. So it could be a sense of like infinite love, something like a particular type of intention I want in my relationship with a family member or something like that. So I'll go back into SoundSelf with that intention, and in this sense of spaciousness and in a sort of like creative destabilizing of the ego, which SoundSelf does, I can tap back into that insight and see how it can live further in my psyche and in my actions in the world.
Wow. So you said a key word there, destabilization of ego. I think we all need to experience that at some point in our lives. Wow.
Yeah. And SoundSelf does that in a very gentle way. Yes. Whereas psychedelic, it can be overwhelming, and there's some risks with that happening suddenly and being, you know, not prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And so
that's where people have the quote unquote bad trip. If your psyche isn't ready for it and you're resisting, you're not going to have a good experience. But I want to kind of circle back around to the administration of ketamine here and kind of emphasize a couple of things. One, ketamine traditionally mm-hmm. isn't going to be covered by your insurance. So one thing to emphasize here is I feel like if the study proves to be successful, that you will see that a patient could have more durable and longer outcomes of the benefits of that therapy without having to go get it administered every time. So I believe it's only available in like a nasal spray or an IV injection. And I believe health insurance mm-hmm. covers one or the other. So I think there's a huge potential there for SoundSelf to be the solution to help people that may not have the capital to get continuous ketamine therapy over the course of a year, but they can do it for 3 months, but they can sustain that outcome for longer durations instead of having to go back. So I'm so glad to hear that you're studying that.
Yeah, exactly. That's our goal there, is to perhaps reduce the amount of ketamine that a person would need over time mm-hmm. and sort of that reliance on it, and more of an empowering of the person in mental health skills and coping skills and in ways of exploring their psyche that sustains that benefit over time and it's accessible.
Yes. And personally, like I've had a huge benefit from SoundSelf whenever it used to be a tethered headset experience from myself going through an episode of depression and having the stability of something else guiding my journey and then being able to anchor into that. So you focus, right? You're focusing on something else other than the rumination of your thoughts. You're getting that reactivity. So that's a little bit of validation of, I think I'm doing something right. There's something visually reacting to how I'm, you know, participating in this experience. So it must be working. And then the feeling of, I don't know, accomplishment once you're done with the experience of like, I worked on something, I did something with my mind, and it allows extra time for you to reflect on that. So I wanted to hear like a little bit more about like, for example, right now, do you have to administer Sound Self in a office environment, or can a user administer this in the comfort of their own home?
Right now, it's available in clinics and mental health centers and wellness centers. And it's we found that it's really valuable for a person to have guidance going before and after. Mm-hmm. We're working on ways that, you know, perhaps in the future can be accessible to a shapeable person's home. Mm-hmm. We're working on a number of clinical studies, and we're tracking towards proving out some mental health benefits and making sure that there's science and research can back that, that we can take the FDA to make claims. So one subset of digital therapeutics are those that have enough clinical rigor that the FDA clears or approves in some manner so that we can make marketing claims.
I see.
I mean, you might see many, many companies making claims these days, even if they're not FDA approved. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to make claims about a mental health disorder, and if you're anything to do with it, you have to really do the science and go through that FDA process. And that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So what we're hoping is in the next couple of years, a doctor will be able to prescribe Sound Self as a digital therapy. Mm-hmm. And it can be shipped straight to your house, and it can be covered by insurance as well.
Wow, that's huge. I'm curious though, yeah. Who is doing the facilitation? Is it the doctor? Is there an intermediary person that's
yep.
facilitating? Okay. Doctor?
Yeah, it's either a doctor or a nurse, mm-hmm. or part of the staff of the clinic. Mm-hmm. They're setting a person up. They're guiding them on what the experience is. They tell them they tell them all about it. They screen them for any precautions. So, for example, we have a contraindication of people who are at risk for seizures, mm-hmm. Because of the intensity of the strobing lights. Mm-hmm. So they go through that process. They coach the person on vocal toning, and then we also give a lot of training to our customers on all this type of stuff, but. And then after the experience, they bring the person out of it and coach them on how they can make best use of that experience as they go about their life. So, you know, typically, like I said, sessions 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing lots of success right now within ketamine therapy.
Good.
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. And you mentioned earlier, we were talking about the collaborative nature between the technology and the person, and wanted to share with the audience, like that is 100% true, because whenever I first started using Sound Self, that was my first Discord channel, was joining the Sound Self and talking to the developers. And I thought that was so cool that like I, as a user, could talk to the people that were actually designing it, and they were actually listening and asking questions. Never in the world have I ever experienced that with a developer of like a VR experience. So people that are listening, y'all are legit. Y'all talk the talk and walk the walk. So thank you for doing that and creating a safe and inclusive environment for people to feel comfortable going through that experience, because it can be a very vulnerable experience.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then that is another reason why we're starting our entry into the market in clinical settings and places where you person can get some guidance before and after, because it is a vulnerable experience using your voice. Mm-hmm. You know, a voice is very personal to us.
Yeah.
And when you're toning like that, you're hearing your own voice in the musical system. But you're also, and it's modified slightly in different ways, mm-hmm. But you're also hearing the musical system that the tone of your voice is generating. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of work in the guided meditation that comes before the toning to get the person to relax and feel comfortable. And we start with humming before we even open the mouth. So like, but starting the process just gently, step by step, getting to working your way to just a full relaxed tone. And toning has been used for millennia to regulate the body, to bond with others, to reach other alternate states of consciousness. And we just don't do that typically in our in our modern world. But there's some powerful outcomes to that practice of toning. So what we've done with SoundSelf is package it in such a way that it's really accessible. People feel like that they feel safe going into the experience and doing it. And it's precisely in its vulnerability that there's the therapeutic, a lot of the therapeutic benefits. So there's a type of release that happens as I'm toning like this repeatedly. It allows my body to relax and sort of like an emotional release to happen if that's what needs to happen at that point. And that can be very, very healing for people.
100%. And it's pretty profound to see that happen, I'm sure, as a physician and being able to observe that type of behavior. But I'm loving the fact that y'all identified the preparation and the integration stages, because I think other fields have been using some similar approaches. For example, patients that are about to go through rounds of chemotherapy, they'll go through a preparation stage of like what to expect in your prepper, in your as you prepare for chemotherapy. Here's what you might feel, here's what you might experience during and afterward. So that makes people feel a little bit more comfortable going into it. I've also seen some dental offices use it as well for people that have high anxiety around going to the dentist, and helping to reduce pain for dentist work. And I've seen some studies of VR being used to help burn victims disassociate with their pain and associate with the visual element in the headset that might be depicting a cold environment or something icy. So I love the application of the integration, or the preparation and integration, because I feel like other fields could also take note of that as well.
You know, immersive technology has this, there's a really pretty crazy things we can do. That we continuously can refine and figure out what mental health conditions can most benefit. So for example, with SoundSelf and with, so with virtual reality in general, there's been research on what people have called the out of body experience. Because virtual reality changes the sense of presence. You might be able to be present in another world than like your everyday waking world. And by engineering the conditions of that world and how the human body outside the headset is and how the person is interacting and what their subjective experience is in this other world, we can, there's this sort of meeting place between the human and the system, and creating this out-of-body effect. And so there's been research on virtual reality creating an out-of-body effect to modify a sense of someone's sense of self and body. So with people with body dysmorphia or with anorexia, there's been research, I think out of Italy, with the virtual reality project there, showing that they can help people by changing, beneficially changing how they, their sense of their body. And by doing this out of body experience. And you can also shift attitudes and perceptions. There's work with Mel Slater in Spain that he did work on changing racial bias by going into a virtual reality headset in a virtual world and changing the body that I'm in. So they put, I think it was putting a white female in a black female body and be going through scenarios. There was another one, I think out of the same lab, where putting sex offenders, or I think it was, no, it was domestic violence offenders and put them in a situation where they were in a woman's body where a man was like threateningly attacking them.
Wow.
And getting them to change these ingrained habitual beliefs over time. So there's some pretty crazy powerful things that we can do. So, but Sound Self, it's in our literature, several of our participants in our research have described it as this kind of out of body experience. So it's like both out of the body and in the body at the same time. And that's where a lot of therapeutic potential mechanisms that we're working on take advantage of that. Because you're toning, you're feeling your chest. You're feeling your chest and your gut, and you're feeling your body. But at the same time, simultaneously, you're also in this out-of-body virtual world. Mm-hmm. That, you know, instead of a VR screen creating the visuals, it's your brain creating the visuals. So it's simultaneously in the body while outside the body at the same time. So what that does is it can help shift a person's locus of self, like where their sense of self is seated at, habitually, and allow them to maybe interact or dialogue with any afflictive phenomena, or let's say I spoke about rumination. They could talk, they can maybe hold and perceive that sense, that part of them that it is doing that, and work with it in a way that is very psychotherapeutic. So in a way, we're both changing state, we're training skills, but we're also empowering people to engage in this relational process mm-hmm. with parts of themselves. But with that out-of-body effect.
Wow, that's really powerful there. And I'm curious, because I haven't looked at any studies as a recent, because I know there could be a different side to that too. I have seen some studies a long time ago that focused on disassociation. People that spent too long in a certain experience having a hard time reacclimating to their current space. Mm-hmm. And it could take like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
What have you seen anything about that, and has that improved over time?
Yeah, like there's this with virtual reality, there's this risk of like derealization and
yes.
depersonalization.
That's it. Thank you.
It's a very serious risk, especially with children who have yet to like form like their beliefs about the world and have it reflected by like material reality and have it reflect truth or falseness. So for example, if a child does a VR experience where maybe there's something happening with like dolphins and they're swimming with dolphins or something like that. I think this was someone who talked about this. I forget who it was, but they could come out of the experience and they would think that the experience they had was real. They, in the sense that they actually had swum, you know, they'd be like, hey, look, mom, do you remember mom last week when I swam with dolphins?
Yeah.
Even with adults, and especially when we are working with psychiatric conditions, we have to be really careful with that.
Yeah.
Sound Self, there's less of a risk. And that's, you know, one of the reasons we made the shift from virtual reality to this other type of immersive technology using lights mm-hmm. on closed eyes. The world doesn't seem like it's this sort of different reality. Yeah. It feels like, okay, it's generated by my brain. And so there's less of a risk of that. So we haven't seen any of that pop up with Sound Self.
Yeah, that's great. And I doubted that you would see it, but I wanted to like talk about the other side of that too. And it's nice to know, mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because some people have this notion that, oh yeah, kids can handle virtual reality because they're whizzes at tech. They can use my iPad. That's not the case. And I saw that Meta actually recently updated their minimum age requirement and lowered it from, mm-hmm. I believe, 13 to 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Which took a little bit of a long time to happen. For example, when I was an emerging technologies librarian at the University of Oklahoma and we had the Oculus Go headsets, parents would want their kids to try it on. And here I am trying to cite research, uh-huh. like, I don't think you should try this. A parent's not going to pay attention to that. So what are your thoughts on, you know, helping people understand that VR and these types of immersive experiences, not just VR, aren't for everyone, but you should keep your ideas open to what might be working for you.
Yeah, it's just we just have to be as transparent as possible in our research and doing as much education as we can and setting expectations on, you know, what the experience is and the benefits and not providing any sort of unrealistic expectations. And so, yeah, in our we provide like clinical guide, like a white paper where we go through that with all of our customers and how they should talk about it with their patients. So. Yeah, it just it comes down to being providing a thorough education for our customers and also the end user.
Absolutely. And I will absolutely make sure that I link the Sound Self website here because I haven't been to the website in a long time. And it looks like there's been some incredible one rebranding. But two, there's a lot more resources to learn more about the science behind Sound Self, behind the team, behind the mission, vision, values. So I want to encourage everyone that's listening to take some time to dig through that because there's a lot of really beneficial resource material there.
Yeah. The website is www.soundself.com. And you can look into our research there. And we have a blog. And once this podcast comes out, we'll put our – link your podcast, Ashley,
awesome.
On our website. And yeah.
It's exciting. Well, I'm really thrilled. And one, I want to kind of like, before we kind of start to land this plane here, like I could talk for hours about Sound Self. I was genuinely excited whenever you scheduled this. I was at the gym and I got the notification and I was like, oh my God, Sound Self. They're coming. It's happening. So I am a huge fan person of the work that you do. So what is the vision of the future for Sound Self? When let's say, you know, we're in a mental health crisis as we've been in for a long time, and these types of this digital therapeutic landscape, as we're calling it, is much needed. So let's say 5 years into the future, what is that pie in the sky goal for Sound Self or for you?
Well, I mean, mine. I think mine is very much aligned with the company. Is that it's just apparent with mental health now that there is not enough supply to meet the demand, and we need to responsibly and carefully and do the research to create technologies that can really help people and make it accessible and affordable. And so with Sound Self, we intend to scale this technology so that people with mental health conditions and also people who want to just increase their wellness and learn meditation and have a moment where they can put on Sound Self and just feel a sense of relaxation at the end of the day. That can be affordable and accessible to them and personalized as well. I forgot to mention earlier that this experience is heavily, heavily personalized. And I know it's awesome that you were been with us since the VR days. And we learned a lot from the many users on VR. In our current system, what makes it really it takes it to a next level is that we provide a lot of we design some algorithms that incentivize breath in a certain way. So we kind of understand how you're toning, and we incentivize toning such that you get more and more relaxed. So it's very personalized to your own system and where you're at in the moment. And we also do AI vocal biomarker analysis before and after.
Whoa.
So you. The guide asks you how you're feeling, and you just talk out loud how I'm feeling right now before and at the end of the experience, and you get a mental fitness biomarker from that, so you can kind of track over time. So our goal is when someone can do this and when in such a convenient way, but also be able to pair it with their other health their Fitbit, their Whoop, or the Apple Watch, and be able to track over time how Sound Self is improving their life.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And it's nice that some platforms, like for example, in the new iOS 17 update, there's more like health, mental health tracking opportunities in the health app. So you can really customize that the way that you want. But it's nice because you can see your mindful minutes of like, how many mindful minutes did you do today? And I would love to see like an integration of you had 20 mindful minutes today. And let's say 10 of those were doing something, you know, digital therapeutic landscaping. And the other half was, you know, traditional meditation, because it's no longer one or the other. I think we're in this new space of doing what works and
exactly.
pushing the boundaries of that collaboration between technology and people.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is one thing I wanted to mention for listeners who are listening. And as we're talking about mental health and talking about just different things that people might be dealing with when they approach meditation or approach something like Sound Self, I wanted to remind listeners about the 988 Lifeline. It is available across the US. You can text or call. It's completely free, but it's a national network of local crisis centers that provide free and confidential support to people in a suicidal crisis or emotional distress, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're committed to improving crisis services and advancing suicide prevention by empowering individuals, advancing professionals' best practices, and building awareness. So 988, tell a friend about it. It's a great resource. I've heard of people using it to also find housing assistance resources, food resources, just the things that you may not know what to ask for. So it's not just when you're in a mental health crisis. It could be finding access to more resources around you. So wanted to share that and plug that for our listeners just in case they need it. But Dr. Sandeep, thank you so much for coming on Coffee and Code. Before we leave, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Thank you, Ashley, for inviting me. And I think that's it. I'd love, please reach out to us if you're interested or just want to learn more. Mm-hmm. You can find info on our website, soundself.com, and can reach out to us there. And we'd love to hear from you. And we are eager to work with people. Okay. So if there you have any ideas about partnerships, or if you're interested in doing research with SoundSelf, or if you want to use this in your clinic, or if you're interested in this for your wellness center, just feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to speak with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sandeep. I'll be sure to include all that information in the show notes, so people can follow along on social, sign up for your newsletter so they can be up to date on when the latest updates come out. I personally will be talking to my mental health professional to see if this is something they could carry in their office, because I do believe in it from like a personal and a professional mm-hmm. perspective. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Thank you for sharing your expertise with the Sound Self team and with the world at large. I think it's really rare to find people that have that intersection of your experience of, you have that left and right brain, the artist brain, but also the analytical scientific brain, which is, we need more of that in science and academia. So thank you for the work that you do. I know it's not easy, but I look forward to potentially having you on the show again next time, whenever there's a new iteration coming out. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Ashley. My pleasure.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.